Blog Talk Radio.
Who never knew you would fail? You never knew you'd go through the things you've been through. You never knew that you would fall. But I heard his voice say, I heard his voice say, here's the pain. It is not your part. It is not your part. Sickness, it is not your part. Poverty, it is not your part.
I have to embrace the world.
You never knew you'd be broken. You never knew
all the tears that you cried.
You never knew you'd lose the things you lost. But I heard his voice say, I have the news, I have the news. That's your portion. Good health. That's your portion. Be a part of it. That's your portion. I have to embrace it. Come on, I need to remind myself. I have to embrace the promise. I have to embrace the promise. I know that's your portion. Good health. That's your portion. I need a the promise.
Your portion is good news. The word of God is good news. I am Lewis Beasley, apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to have prayer from Evangelist Ursula from California. We're going to ask her if she'll give us a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mr. Lobster. Okay. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word declare that in everything give thanks. For this is the word of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So, Father God, we come thanking you for your word. We thank you for your word because it's in your word, Father God, that it declares who we are and what we are. So I thank you, Father God, that we're everything your word have declared that we are and who we are. We are part of a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. We offer up spiritual gifts to you through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God, that your word said we labor together with you. I thank you for that. I thank you, Father God, for you being our husbandry. Thank you, Father God, that we are your building and your temple, and your spirit lives in us and dwell in us, according to 1 Corinthians 3:9 and 1 Corinthians 3:16. I thank you, Father God, that we are free, because John 8:32 says, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. I thank you, Father God, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. For the word of God declared that anybody hangs on a tree is cursed. Jesus became that curse for us. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. Thank you, Father God, for the healing that you're sending forth for Pastor Bell in Akron, Ohio. I thank you, Father God, for the healing you sent forth for Gloria and for all those that have asked for prayer and you've sent forth. Father God, we thank you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to get into it. Pastor Bell, she normally will read for us. So happy to have each and every one of you all again. But something going on with her voice. So, but anyway, we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. We left off yesterday in the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And we'll probably read the first 6 verses. I always like to read it out of the Messenger Bible or out of another translation. But it would take up a lot of time with me just doing it all by myself. So since I don't have Pastor Bill to help me today, I'm just going to go as the Lord direct. So in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, then verify the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlesticks and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holy of all, which had the golden censers and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod bent at the table of the covenant. Now, for those that don't know what's going on, let me take a moment and explain to you. The 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews really is explaining what he's talking about in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So you got to go back to 8:1, and he's verifying that there had been a worldly covenant and what the first covenant was all about. This is why it was so important to do the second covenant. So the second covenant, bless God, have to be understood from Hebrews 8:1-2 that says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm, that we have such a high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. So he's making a distinction here. This tabernacle that he's talking about is in heaven. The sanctuary is in heaven. And we're supposed to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth where Christ sits. That's if you crucified the flesh. And this is for believers. God had told me to make sure that I direct true believers to the heavenly sanctuary, because this is where God now operate and occupy. For those that don't know, Christ is our high priest, but we're not treating him like he's our high priest. We're not taking offering. So when we go back to the 9th chapter and read this, you'll see what the job of the high priest was. God had made a covenant with us. And he explaining about the first covenant, how it had this and had that. It'll take me a long time to explain all of this today. So let me kind of put things in order so you'll understand. The priest had a job, and that priest's job was to take the offering of the people and give it to the high priest. And the high priest would go into what is called the tabernacle, and he would there at the mercy seat, he would sprinkle blood. But the blood that was offered could not make sin go away. You would still have a sin conscience, because the next year you had to come right back again. The next year it was the same thing, year after year. Well, Christ took his blood once and for all, took it to the Holy of Holiness, sit down, never to have to get up again, because the Father told him, said, sit here on my right till I make your enemy become your footstool. See, the blood of bulls and goats, and it could not change our conscience. So when you read the 9th verse, it says this, which was a figure of the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in the meat and drink. See, that's what Moses' offering that he took from the people did. It was something for the flesh. It was nothing for the spirit man. But Christ becoming a high priest of good things to come by a great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the heavenly holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's the difference between worshiping in a building and worshiping God. You have eternal redemption, every year redemption, not every Sabbath redemption. Some people just think redemption is, let me go back to the service Sunday. They preach condemnation. You are not condemned. God doesn't see you condemned. He see you in Christ. He have good news for you. He see you as the very righteousness of God. Now, I just pray that you will receive what God have already did for you in the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Why you think the Bible says partakers of a heavenly calling? What make you partakers of a heavenly calling? He said, consider the apostles and the high priest our professional Christ Jesus. So when you see the word Christ Jesus, you know they're talking about the new covenant. He's talking about spiritual stuff. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:14, saying then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus Christ the Son. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So we have to agree to these things, that if you can believe that, you should believe in true worship. Remember, brothers and sisters, God telling us to worship now, right now. So you are God's house, so you stay spiritual. Because God is a spirit, John 4:23, he says he wants you to worship in spirit and in truth. Not just worship those things in a building. That's what the old covenant was about. The new covenant is spiritual. Old things are passed away. You don't even have a past now. Behold, all things become new. Now, I know some of y'all say, well, yeah, I got a past. Not when you become new. They're passed away. They're gone. So you're not trying to remember who you were. You are thankful for who you are in Christ. You are thankful for what the Word of God say you are. And I wanted to do it today, and I probably will. I wanted to show you the contrast between the covenant. And I also wanted to talk about the blessings. Brothers and sisters, in this new covenant, you have redemption. In the old covenant, you didn't have that. In the new covenant, you're free of condemnation. Romans 8:1. In this new covenant, you have a spirit of life according to Romans 8:2. Matter of fact, man could not even love like God loved, but now you can in the new covenant. John 13:34. God want us to love like him. Why? So we can be on his level. So we can operate like him. So we can do the things like he does. Remember what he said? Greater works you're going to do because I go to the Father. But it's great work. How you going to do what he do unless you have the tools that he has? So God have imparted in us his love. Listen, dear, because I don't want anybody to get confused. When I tell you that the Lord wants you worshiping in the true tabernacle and the truth, because he want to give you revelation knowledge. He wants you to worship in spirit and in truth. He want that intimacy. He want that time. That's real special for you and him. That's what God wants. So that he can tell you what his will is. Well, I know the will of God. Oh, really? Let me tell you what, brothers and sisters. What the reason you want to worship is because in spirit and in truth. And the only way you can worship in spirit and in truth is in his word. That God expects for you to live righteous. What is righteous? Righteous means to be able to stand in God's, that's what righteousness is, to be able to stand in God's presence without the sense of guilt. And going to church don't give you that, but standing before God will. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, we are born of God, and whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's worldly. These worldly churches, God said he don't even want you in them. He does not want you in them. He never told you to go in them. That's man's stuff. God don't tell you to do that. There's only one scripture that people want to reference to, and that's over there in Hebrews 10. But see, when you understand 8, 9, and by the time you get to 10, you understand, well, why are we coming up here anyway? It's pointless. Why are we coming up here to the temple? So they said, so Paul said, hey, or the book, the writer of Hebrews, so I just won't say Paul, but the writer of the book of Hebrews says, fail not to assemble yourself as the manner of some was, because it was like, why should we be up here for what? What's the purpose? When we know that the only reason we were coming up here is to bring the blood of an ox, the blood of a bull, the ashes of a heifer. See, you read all this stuff in 9. So when you get to 10, you understand, hey, we might as well just be out here preaching. But assemble yourself. For there's two or more gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. Get your prayer partner. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. And he never sent them to a church building. Now, you want to know where he sent them? I'm glad you asked. One time he sent them to the upper room to discuss his business, and he had a little dinner up there. But anyway, when we get to 10, you'll understand that. But right now, understand, when you become part of the body of Christ, you don't do the things the world way. You stop doing that. Jesus said in John 16:28, I came from the Father. See, that's what Satan don't understand. He don't understand why you have power over him. But yet he know you got power if you know who you are in Christ. Demons trembles at you. Some people, they talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. You know why? Because they're not working the work that God have called us to work. Brothers and sisters, Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That means spirit, not Jesus Christ now, because that was the flesh. That was a defeated one. But victorious in the spirit. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which have before he ordained that we should walk in them. That's what God wants us walking, in the good work. These good works are planted by the Father. He planted them. He planted them in our spirit. And God expects for it to be accomplished. The Bible says this, and you may want to go figure it out. If he says we are without spot or wrinkle in Ephesians 5:27, he is able to make us without spot or wrinkle in our conduct and how we treat people, how we act. If we say we are holy and without blemish before him, according to Ephesians 1:4, he has the ability to present us before him, before the Father. That's now, man. That's right now. Now you're going to understand why 2 Corinthians 5:17-18 says, the new creation has no past. The old things are passed away. So the new creation don't have that stuff. Behold, all things have become new. We're talking new stuff now. Everything is going to be new. God's saying to me right now, somebody's going to have a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at scripture, a new way of doing it. You know why? Because you're going to get it from the Father. It is the God life that's going to be imparted in us. That's what God is doing. He wants to impart his stuff in you, not the world stuff. But it's not for everybody. Guess who's it for? Believers. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me have everlasting life. Now, because you say you believe, doesn't mean you believe. Because you think it, doesn't mean you believe. Because you feel it, doesn't mean you believe. Jesus said, these things I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Let me tell you, dear heart, you need to know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the Son of God. He's doing this so that we can be imparted with God's nature. And it's not a feeling. It's the word of God. That's what you got born again by. Oh, well, I felt like. No, you get born again by the word of God. That's how you get born again. Jesus expect, brothers and sisters, for us to operate in the new, not the old. The church building, for instance, the Bible says the law was having a shadow of good things to come. That's what the old covenant is all about. It was something good that was going to come. Not, and he says, and not the very image of the thing can never with the sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make them whole. It wasn't going to do it. Therefore, he was talking about being perfect, for they would have not ceased to be offered because they were worshiped once purge should have had no conscience of sin. See, they still had a conscience of sin. That's why I can tell somebody been born again. They want to talk about sin all the time. They don't want to talk about righteousness. They don't want to talk about what God have did for us. They don't want to walk in that newness of life. They still want to walk into the old stuff. When you knew, you don't have time for that. See, Christ offered one sacrifice. Well, look at it like this. Let me take my time and say this. If the blood of animals could heal the body, could do a whole lot of things. I'm going to get into all the things that Moses taught. But I want, and then that's something you can do your research. So I can get past all of that and get to the main dish. Jesus took his blood and sat down at the right hand. No other priest had the right to do that. They had to continue work, continue work. Well, why am I telling you this? It's because you have a better covenant that built on better promises. But it's not going to work for you until you start acting on it. That's what believing is anyway, is acting on the word of God. It requires a corresponding reaction or a corresponding action. When Jesus said to Peter, come, Peter, act on what Jesus said. He acted on the word of God. When God told Moses, Moses, stretch out your rod, he acted on the word of God. That's what believing is, brothers and sisters. It's acting on the word of God. Saying it doesn't mean anything. Will you act on it? Will you lay hands on the sick or you, boom, got to run them to the doctor? Lay hands first. At least try if you believe. Because the Bible says, if you believe me now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to keep my word. And that word keep really means to do. You're going to do the word of God. So when somebody said that they believe, I ask them, do you do the word of God? Well, preacher, do you do the word of God all the time? I do it when the Lord put it in my spirit, I do. And that's the way you should do. That's the way we should do. Because we have that right. We are a holy priesthood. What makes us holy is because we're worshiping in a holy place, which happens to be Hebrews 8 and 1 and 2. Christ had become our minister. So he's teaching us as a minister, he's teaching us to do holy things. He's teaching us to do the same thing he would do. Because, you know, he couldn't have been a priest here. Okay, I'm leaving it there. But on tomorrow, I'm going to show you about 85 things. And I don't know if we get them all covered within this 30 minutes. But I'm going to show you at least about 20 things that's different between the old and the new. And so what I'll do is make an old and new covenant contrast. because I want you to see what they did in the old and see what they're doing in the new. So you can be part of the new covenant. So you'll know that you know that you know that you're part of the new covenant. And then you'll know who's not part of the new covenant. People who give in tithe, hey, they're not part of the new covenant. Couldn't be. Because God don't want your money. He ain't asked for your money. That's what they're going to use to build daycares and have little nurseries and ball games. That's what, but they ain't going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you a lie. Or, and so the preacher can have a nice vehicle or pay for gas or what. But I'm going to show you the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The new covenant, you offer spiritual things. And we'll get into that tomorrow. But anyway, if anybody have any comments, any questions, press 1 and we'll let you in. We'll hear what you got to say. Anyone. Hallelujah. Anyone. Okay. So tomorrow we'll talk about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. We may make sure you understand that the covenant is a contract that you have with God. You didn't get saved by no building. You got saved by the Spirit of God. Then you need to honor that. Don't be bewitched. Stop being bewitched. Stop being foolish. Know that you're going to serve a true and living God in this new and living way according to Hebrews 10. Okay, brothers and sisters, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Noon.